If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved, or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tim Jenkins.
I've got people real mad at me in Chicago that how dare you? There's a radio guy up there, Mike North. He was real mad.
Founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite.
I'm Tim Jenkins, and welcome to All Things QB, where I watch every single clip and break down the most important ones today.
Breaking down the positives and negatives.
You've seen progressions that align with the quarterback's eye. I hope that's what we get more of, but I hope we continue to see some of these concepts and the way we build things are better for the quarterback versus just looks good on paper.
Tim Jenkins with Raheemi Harrison Grody on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Let's jump into the film.
He said it. Let's jump into the film. We go to the Circus Resort and Casino Hotline, CircleLasVegas.com. That is where we find our guest, Tim Jenkins. He, of course, of T. Jenkins Elite on Twitter. He is also the founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite. He's on YouTube. He also joins us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. Hey, Tim, thanks for coming on. Oh, no. We can't hear Tim.
I'm muted. Sorry.
Oh, there you are.
I've only done this for 8 weeks, you know, and I'm still muted.
That's okay.
Yeah, I'm fired up.
What fires you up? What did you see in the tape that you really liked about the Bears' win over the Saints?
To be honest with you guys, I think we've actually finally started to scratch the surface a little bit on true week-to-week play design. There was a play in the game where we motioned Luther Burden across the formation, and we did this last week. So we motioned our guy across the formation, and then we ended up hitting a vertical. We ended up hitting him on a go, right? The motion guy ended up running a go. This week, we motion him across the formation. It's an identical look, identical pass pro, run action. And then instead of the go, we break off on a dig. And you can tell that the Saints, right, they're thinking go. The corner bails the heck out of there because he saw this on film and it was a go. And then he's wide open. So I actually think what we finally started to see was true week-to-week changes from Ben that are based on wrinkles from the week previous, which for me is the most exciting part because those are the kind of things that we were, I think, all really excited about when we heard he was coming to Chicago.
Would you say that's making the same things look different and different things look the same?
That's bingo. There you go. That's exactly what it is. So to me, it's like, I think, yeah, it's awesome stuff. They had a little game winner, too, that they showed something very similar early in the game. You know, not a game winner, but the fourth down one where it was like, okay, hey, we could get into victory. Is, you know, the tight end, instead of breaking out like he had all game on the same exact look, he snapped across the face on what we would call like a little ship route, a little short post. And then we hit it for an easy one. So to me, it was like, I don't know. I think we're finally seeing this offense start to adjust week to week, click week to week, which I think is a testament probably not only to Ben, but also his belief in what Caleb can do and handle. And we're seeing it pay off.
So we see the good in the scheming and the play calling, but I know we saw a step backwards from Caleb in his play. I just want to know from you, how big of a step back was it and what did you see?
I mean, I saw two really bad plays, right? Like if I'm being honest with you guys, if we separate, to me, it's always hard. I like to separate the physical errors. Like when he's scrambling around and he dirts a ball that we think he could put on somebody, my general belief with Caleb Williams is that's not going to be an issue long term, right? So for me, it's like we're going to have physical errors. So I kind of put those in a different. For me, when I sit there and I look at the tape, it was we had two glaring bad decisions, which is the deep out interception. That's just a terrible decision to go to the deep out on that situation where he's trying to force it to Rome and it's like it's third and 15. It's just not a feasible throw. The corner played it well. And then we had one that was really egregious, which was him trying to force it to DJ Moore against bracket coverage on the, we would call it a bang eight route, like a bang post. Mm-hmm. That was a terror. That was the worst decision I've seen him have all year. With that being said, I still kind of get what his thought process was, which was he was trying to move the safety with his eyes. He wasn't actually looking at the safety, trying to move him, snap back, try to throw on time. Guess what? Safety didn't move. We got problems, right? You know, you could throw the CQ issues in there too, which seem like they're starting to pop up more frequently, which, I don't really, it's hard to tell why they're happening between the bad snaps in the gun and the under center miscommunication. So do I think it was like a drastic step back? No. I do think we've probably got to start to accustom ourselves, though, to the fact of we finally have a football team that our quarterback doesn't have to make unreal plays every single week for us to win football games. And that's exactly what you want. Like, Mahomes does not make insane plays every single week when the Chiefs are chugging along and beating the Saints, right? Like, we want to be a football team that can win ugly, or, hey, our quarterback has three or four bad plays. Hey, we can still overcome it and win. So to me, it's more or less this team is doing a great job. And I think Caleb is playing exactly the kind of game we need, which is, hey, dude, don't go give it away by making, you know, rookie or second year quarterback decisions. Play within our offense. There are going to be 400 yard days and there are going to be 200 yard days. And we got to be okay with that as long as we're walking out of there with a win.
Well, Tim, I also thought that maybe as much as Caleb Williams has talked about how he liked his turnover to touchdown ratio last year, you know, that he only threw six interceptions. I feel like the Saints with the early interception may have gotten him a little bit, you know, and then we saw those two batted balls by Chase Young. It was pretty obvious the Bears wanted to set up the screen game and the Saints knew it and they didn't want it to happen. And I wonder how much that affected him for the rest of the game from a passing standpoint.
I mean, I think you could be onto something, right? To me, it's always hard, right? Because I think different quarterbacks react different ways on that psychological front, right? Like some guys, it's almost like you see him throw an interception. You're like, great, we're going to have a good day because now he's pissed off and he's going to come back, right? You think about old school Tom Brady getting salty. It's like that was kind of the best thing for him. Whereas you're right, Caleb could be one of those guys who, man, hey, he really wants to have a great touchdown interception ratio. So when he does get aggressive with it early, hey, does that prevent him from being aggressive later? I would tell you that I didn't see, I thought he was equally as aggressive, you know, throwing the dig route or throwing the can sail that, you know, as he was early on. With that being said, like I could see exactly what you're saying with some of those scramble throws, some of those screen, you know, the screen balls that get batted down where it's like, you know, hey, are you kind of taking a little something off this? Are you trying to be perfect? Which I think would be something that I'm assuming this Bears staff would be dealing with behind the scenes, which ultimately we're going to get into a game where he's going to make a mistake. It's going to be against a good football team where we still have to rally back and hunt with the football and be aggressive. And we're going to need him to do that later in the season when these games really start, you know, get some of these division games where, you know, playoffs are on the line. We need him to be hunting with the football.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tim Jenkins joining us, founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite here on Raheemy Harrison Grody. And Tim, I'm a little bit concerned about Caleb just from this standpoint. He talked about how he's struggling, and I feel like he's in a slump here when he talks about throwing on the run. This is one of the things that he's been known for, one of the things where he can put on his cape and do the Superman thing. But right now, he's just not able to do it very well and consistently. Is there a remedy for that? I mean, I know Ben Johnson, he's going to try to bring the best out of him, but if a player believes that he's in a slump, what happens next?
Yeah, I would agree with you. Like, that quote's concerning, and I say it's concerning because, you know, you have to be borderline narcissistic arrogant, right, to play that spot. You know, like Andrew Luck had a really great long article about retiring and, like, the kind of toll it takes to be a quarterback in the NFL on, I think, like, maybe borderline not healthy thoughts about yourself, right? Like, nobody wants to, you know, work with someone who's always thinking about themselves simultaneously. Like, if you're going to be under center in the NFL, you need to be doing that. So then when you hear a guy say, hey, man, I don't feel great on the run. Yeah, how much of that feeds itself, I think, is a really big question that I don't think we contemplate enough when it comes to sports psychology and the things that go into actually performing, you know, on that stage. What I'll tell you is, from just a quarterback evaluator standpoint, Caleb on the run has always been the best term for this. He's always been just the best kid on the playground. Like, I don't think he's ever done anything from a, you know, hey, he's technically perfect, right? Like, he's always done more or less, like, amazing throws. Like, his chest is flat to the line of scrimmage versus maybe his, you know, off shoulder pointing at his target. He's always done stuff where it's like, man, he's almost doing it in spite of his mechanics. So what I would argue is, I think there's, you know, if he feels like he's in a slump, I would argue that just some, like, old school, hey, man, get your shoulder to the target a little bit. Hey, let's get our J step right to where my back inseam is pointing at my target. Get my weight a little bit going forward, not necessarily completely horizontal. I think some of that stuff could actually help him, which is funny because it's like the same thing, you know, you'd be talking about with a younger quarterback. But when you're as skilled as Caleb is, like, I don't blame guys for not, you know, touching him mechanically, because it's like, why would you? Like, he hits all his spots. There's no need. Don't mess with it. You know, don't fix something that's not broken. With that being said, if he's starting to say, hey, man, I feel like this part of my game is broken, I think a return to some of the old school fundamentals could really help him more or less snap out of that slump that he feels like he's in.
No, I agree. I think that that's a good way of putting it, because he's learned how to build his identity and make money off of doing so for so long at this point. You know, he made $10 million, and I say that as a compliment. That is, yep. That's incredibly successful, as we know, to be able to do that in your college career. So I would imagine a lot of this is going to take a lot of work for him. And when I think of when Ben Johnson says the offense is going to look a certain way in December as opposed to now, this is kind of what you're getting at. You know, even the baby steps of what you're seeing Tim on film is a lot of what that probably builds to. You know, how do you absorb all of that, knowing, like, we are seeing steps that lead us to probably a much different product a couple months from now?
Yeah, and that's what I think. You know, when you sit there and you look at the game and you kind of go, you walk away from it thinking Caleb didn't play great, I do think there's a lot of hidden things too that are progressing. The operation at the line of scrimmage, think about how many fewer pre-snap penalties we have. You know, you're actually seeing him touch his head and yell can, right? They're getting from one play to another. You see the timing in not only the pass game with the motions, but the run game. Those are all the little things that I think he's doing right that we probably don't credit enough. But if we all just take a step back and go back to week one, we remember how bad it could look, right? So to me, that's where I think you see this offense trending. And I think the most exciting part is, imagine pairing all of that, right? You pair all of the him doing the little stuff right with, let's say we get a return to Caleb's form on his throwing on the run, some of these other things, this offense is going to be pretty salty, pretty dangerous down the stretch, which I think is what Ben is probably alluding to, which is like, guys, we're finally taking steps in the right direction operationally. We're going to get all this other stuff right. And when they do, watch out, because I think it's going to be a pretty explosive offense.
We love it. The vote of confidence from Tim Jenkins is a good thing. I assume you're working or have already released the breakdown on YouTube.
Yeah, breakdown is out. It is, it's not as exciting as, you know, normal. We didn't have like, you know, five tutties, but there's some really good stuff. It was good. And I'll tell you what, I've said this a lot on the program, but I truly mean it. There is nothing like the comment section on Chicago Bears stuff. Like, people tell you to post and ghost. That just couldn't be further from the truth. The amount of joy from reading some of this stuff, they're awesome. Even if they're trashing you, you got to admit, I'm sure you guys get it too.
You get
on Twitter, even if you're getting trashed, there's some stuff that's pretty funny. I read it and I go, yeah, that's a good dig. That's a good dig at me. Love it. And I appreciate you guys having me on, and hopefully another win next week.
Love it, Tim. And post and ghost is a new term I hadn't heard.
I will be using it. Thanks so much, Tim. I appreciate you, man.
See you guys.
Thanks. Thanks, Tim Jenkins. And man, who knew that
post and ghost? I love that.
We get the advice and we also get the info, and then we get the post and ghost is a good idea.
Yeah. I've already been posting and ghosting. I just didn't know it was called that.
Yeah, a lot of times, like, we just can't see everything. Like, I'm sorry. Like, we got to read other stuff.
I don't have time.
Yeah, that's really what it is. Like, I read probably half of the Twitch chat because it moves so quickly, and like a fourth of the text line. Sorry. It's just kind of how it goes. Speaking of all of that, here's something you might want to chime in on, everybody. I mentioned Chase Young and what we saw about in the very beginning of the Saints game, the Bears establishing the screen game and trying on that left side, and things were not smooth. Well, apparently Ben Johnson echoed that on Monday. So let's listen to what he had to say about his assessment of current situation at left tackle. We'll do that next on Raheem Harris and Grody on The Score.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Grody, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week. And we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved, or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.